Okay, we're back. We took a little break from our ABCs of Twitter part one. And we're going to go right into recording more Twitter Basics part two. But if you didn't listen to Twitter Basics part one, I'm Debbie, also known as Loxley Online.
And I'm Vinny, also known as NY Falcon.
And we're here to help you get started with Twitter and help you understand it. And you should listen to part one first if you don't have a Twitter account yet. If you already have a Twitter account, this section is going to tell you how to post and how to retweet and how to use Twitter search and how to use ads. And we're going to show you some examples of some sites that we think use Twitter to their very best advantage. So to get started, Vinny started a Twitter account in our first part that was about vacation travel.
Twitter.com/vacationdude. I'm already up to four followers.
He's got four followers, and the Twitter account's only been live for 20 minutes. And he followed a few people, and they followed him back. And one guy found him that he didn't follow at all. So that person was out there. They might actually have an RSS feed from Twitter search on people that add the keyword vacation to Twitter search. One of the powerful features of Twitter that we didn't even touch on in the first podcast was the fact that there's an RSS feed at the bottom of your own Twitter page. There's an RSS feed at the bottom of every Twitter search page. So if you search for vacations or vacation deals, anytime there's a Twitter post that has those words in it, it'll show up in Twitter search and in the corresponding RSS feed.
And the best part about the Twitter search is it's actually live people, not a Google-based answer.
Right.
So it's very helpful.
Right. The cool thing about Twitter search and the reason it's catching on is because it's completely word of mouth. It's completely people recommending to people things to do. So people are trusting it more because if someone recommends it, they can click on that person and they can go read everything that person has said and they can decide if they should believe what that person has to say or not.
It's good for products, too, if you want to buy a product like we do with the coffee pot.
Oh, right. Yeah. Go do a search for Keurig in Twitter, and you'll find out how much people love their Keurig coffee pots.
Which model to buy, which model not to buy.
Yep. And you'll also find the deal sites that post the Keurig coffee pots and the Keurig coffee, right. The K-Cups, and you'll see places where they might be on sale.
Yep.
So, all right. Where do you want to go from here?
Let's talk about some Twitter people that are doing it right.
Yeah, let's do that. And then we can examine how they're doing things.
Number one person is Darren Rose with ProBlogger.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter.com/ProBlogger. He basically what he's doing, he even has a separate site set up for Twitter, how to use Twitter and all its different uses.
Okay.
He talks about all sorts of stuff, digital photography, how to do this, how to do that, basically everything.
So he combines everything into one Twitter account, and he links out to all of his blog posts that he makes. And does he automate that, or does he actually go in and manually do them?
I think he's doing a little bit of both. I think he has some sort of auto thing going on, maybe with AWeber.
Okay.
Which we'll get into way down the line.
Way down the line.
Although it's my favorite feature.
That'll be advanced Twitter.
You said you like Mashable?
I like Mashable, twitter.com/Mashable. They are a huge website, the Mashable website, and I actually didn't go look at them until I started following them on Twitter. And I started following them on Twitter because other people were doing at replies to them and doing something called retweet. So I would see the abbreviation RT at Mashable, and then it would reference a blog post that they had done, and it gave me the URL, and it told me the title of the blog post, and I started seeing posts that were very interesting to me, so I started reading them, and that's when I realized that in addition to just listening to what people are doing, I could actually find out really valuable information. But Mashable doesn't use their account just to post their blog posts. He also talks. The gentleman's name is Peter Cashman, and he'll talk about his travels and the people he meets, and he also does at replies to people that he knows.
Makes it very personable.
It's very personable, and they don't use an auto feed to post their blog posts. He actually inputs each one individually, even though there are plenty of applications.
Readers know that.
Yes, and his readers know that.
So you ended up on Mashable, not on your own doing. It was a retweet from one of your followers.
I paid attention to what people that I listened to were talking about.
Right, and you ended up on their site.
And I ended up on their site, and they got a new user because of the conversation they were having on Twitter. And actually, about 8 or 9 months ago, Peter twittered that he didn't think he was going to continue on Twitter. He thought he was done. He said, I don't find any value in this. And I was one of the people that I sent him an at reply. And I said, you know, I wouldn't have found you without Twitter, and I follow you, and I will not subscribe to your RSS feed because I don't have time to subscribe to RSS feeds. I prefer to use Twitter as my RSS feed because instead of getting every single post, I just see the things that people think are important, and I see what people are talking about.
Well, you're like me. You keep a separate window open at all times for Twitter.
Yes, I totally use it on the web. I keep a tab in Firefox open, and I refresh it when I feel like reading the conversation. I'm not one of the people that has it. You can have the tweets delivered to your phone. You can have all kinds of different applications. And to a lot of people, that's distracting.
Sure.
So for me, I just use it in a web tab, and I go when I have something to say or if I need a break and I want to see what other people are saying.
Another good one is DirecTV.
Mm-hmm.
They're very upfront, and if any user has problems with their account, they have them send them a direct message with their account number, and they settle it right then and there.
So they're using it for customer service.
Customer service. You know that we upgraded our boxes to HDTV.
Yes.
And we wouldn't have done that without talking to the Twitter folks at DirecTV a couple times.
Well, and didn't we have trouble? And as soon as you posted it, you got an answer within a couple of minutes.
Yeah, right away. They had my home phone number wrong.
And then the other one that we really like, because it's our favorite airline,
JetBlue.
JetBlue has a Twitter account, and they Twitter flight delays, and they Twitter they Twittered about the new terminal opening. And
that was a whole day.
That was a whole day. They Twittered all day long.
They actually had a Twitter party about that, I
think. They had a Twitter party, yes. It became a Twitter party. People weren't using hashtags yet for that.
Right.
Now, can you explain hashtags, or do you want me to?
You can explain it.
All right. Hashtags is the pound sign, and it now has a new name, hashtag. And people are using it in...
It's the pound sign.
It's the pound sign, but you'll see it referred to as the hashtag. Take, for instance, Affiliate Summit, which was just
great example of that.
A great example. We were in Las Vegas at Affiliate Summit East 09, and in Twitter search, Sean
and
Missy...
Vegas moved to the East Coast.
Huh?
You mean Vegas West.
Vegas West. Oh, I'm sorry.
You said East. You confused
I'm
me.
I'm tired. Okay, Affiliate Summit West 09, which was in January in Las Vegas, Sean and Missy announced ahead of time that anyone who is Twittering about Affiliate Summit should use #... AFSUM09, which is nice and short. Remember, we've only got 140 characters, so we like hashtags that are short. I've seen some that are really incredibly long, and that's a really stupid idea. So everybody who was there and who was Twittering about the conference used # ASW09, and they all showed up on a page that Sean created. So that they didn't even have to go to search.twitter.com. And anyone who was at home and couldn't be at the conference could see what was going on at the conference. People who were at the conference could follow what was going on in the different sessions.
I got $5 from the buy.at people because they Twittered that they were
They were giving away money. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and also some of the panelists, like during we were on a PR panel, and there was a screen that showed the ASW09 stream on the side, right. And they could see that we were in the audience twittering what they were talking about while they were doing their presentation.
Another good example is one of the speakers there, Peter Shankman.
Peter Shankman.
Who is twitter.com/skydiver.
Skydiver. And he has a PR firm, and he has a newsletter that comes out 3 times a day if you're someone looking for journalists that might want to talk about your website. It's called Harrow, and we found him.
Helpareporter.com.
Helpareporter.com. We found him on Twitter. And so what happens with the hashtag is it creates a group so that you can find out what's going on in a particular subject. There are people now that use it for what are commonly being called Twitter parties. So for a couple of hours on a Friday night, people will be Twittering. And they'll be using these hashtags. And all it is it makes it easy to find a group of people talking about the same thing. And then you can decide if you want to follow these people individually or not, or if you just want to follow the hashtag conversation.
And another one that does a good job, Starbucks.
Oh, wow, yes.
I'm surprised you didn't mention them.
Yeah. Well, I like my Keurig now. I don't need to go out to Starbucks unless we're near them.
Yeah. I hope the people on my coffee website don't hear that.
I like my cinnamon dolce latte, yes.
Georgia Aquarium?
Yes, the Georgia Aquarium. You were telling me about that the other day. Tell us some of the things they do.
Yesterday they were tweeting that they were... Actually, I believe they showed a video of them feeding the penguins.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were talking about how they were cleaning up for the night and going home. It was all very... I can't wait to visit the Georgia Aquarium after following these people on Twitter.
Are they one of the ones that has like a little webcam and they were posting the links to the webcams?
Yeah, yeah.
And then so in addition to tweeting about their blog posts and their YouTube videos and all this other stuff, they talk about what's going on and why you would want to go visit them, because you can see. Now that he brought up Georgia Aquarium, San Francisco Zoo is also doing a lot of twittering about what's going on with the animals and, you know, the new babies to go see. And San Francisco Zoo is doing something really interesting where they've been going through Flickr and finding people that tag their images with San Francisco Zoo, and they post their favorites on Twitter.
Right now on Twitter, there is a hash American Idol party going on.
Uh-oh.
Lost, another one.
Oh, yeah, I did see the Lost tag. Yeah, you do have to be a little bit careful with your search terms with it. And the reason they're using a hashtag in front of them is that, okay, if you search for just the word lost, you're going to find a whole bunch of stuff that isn't associated with the television show at all.
People lost their cell phone. People lost their watch. You'll be there all day long.
People lost their girlfriend. Yeah. So if you stick the hashtag on front, then it makes it a little bit easier to find just what you're looking for.
You want to talk about retweets?
Yeah. Something that is, it was a natural thing that people just started doing that now actually has some rules around it, is called the retweet. And that's where your friend posted something interesting about, they had an interesting blog post, okay, like the Georgia Aquarium. So Vinny found something interesting that the Georgia Aquarium posted, and he wants to tell his friends about it. So what he does is he uses the initials RT and a little semicolon or a colon, and he puts at Georgia Aquarium, and then he repeats what Georgia Aquarium said. This is like
forwarding an email.
Now the thing that happens is that his computer just beeped. That's interesting.
Yeah. Something like the Georgia Aquarium.
Little delay thing. What that does is now the Georgia Aquarium has maybe 200 or 300 followers, but now I just retweeted that to my 1,000 followers, and one of my followers can retweet it to their 500 followers, and all of a sudden everybody knows about the new penguin babies at the Georgia Aquarium. So it's very powerful because it's something that you do naturally. However, there are some people that are they're starting to request retweets. Now, while that's okay once in a while,
spam.
It turns into spam. Yeah, you only want to retweet if it's something that you feel is important. So you don't want to ask for a retweet. You want people to just retweet it because it's interesting. The other thing is to make sure that if you do retweet information that someone else posted, you make sure you credit the person who did do the original Twitter about it. You don't want to take credit for finding something that you didn't really find. That's just polite to make sure that everybody knows.
Hmm.
Do you do a lot of retweeting?
I do no retweeting.
Nothing anybody else says is of interest to you?
No, it's just I don't want to bother my followers.
Now, see, that's not right, because I retweet. I don't retweet a lot, but I only retweet things that I think my followers and may not be following the other person, and they might want to know about.
And every time you retweet something, I delete it. I'm a busy guy.
You're a busy guy. Okay. So, it's all about being careful with your followers. You don't want to lose them because all you do is retweet. You want to make sure you're giving them your own original content, in addition to showing them the other content that you like. To go back to the hashtags and the parties for a minute, there is a little phenomenon going on that I'm not happy with, and I'm sure a lot of other people aren't, so you might want to stay away from it. All of a sudden, there are contests that involve retweeting someone else or using the hashtag to get attention to something. Now, while this seems like a good idea and it seems very viral, if all of a sudden you're seeing the same thing Twittered all the time by everybody and you know it's for them to win something in a contest, those things all of a sudden become very invaluable and it becomes very similar to spam. So you might want to think really hard about whether you want to subject your followers to that or whether you want to start a contest like that.
Your Twitter followers are very much like your email list. Well,
yes.
Like me, I'm very guarded with my email list. I only send out what's relevant information that the people would be looking for. I have a relationship with all of these people. Why would I even think about jeopardizing it with spam?
Right.
Makes no sense.
Well, and I have to be careful, too, because the people that follow me, they're not all the same group of people. They're not just affiliates. They're not just affiliate managers. Mm-hmm. It's a mix of affiliates, affiliate managers, artists, photographers, work-at-home moms. You know, I mean, it's a varied group. And to think that they might all be interested in everything that an affiliate guru says, you know, I'm not going to retweet everything that's very industry specific. I'm going to retweet something that's of interest to most of my followers.
Right, like what you had for breakfast.
I don't retweet anybody what they had for breakfast. But I did tweet that I made you dinner tonight.
There you go. And it was lovely. Twitter, building up your email newsletter list.
Okay, you go with that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things. Since you're interacting with people and sending them to back to your site or they're checking out your site in the profile, they're going to sign up for your newsletter list because they're interested in the niche that your Twitter is following
talking
or portraying.
About.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good way of getting newsletter subscribers to your website.
Very good point.
Because
and
you can
also,
always say, hey, I'm giving away, you know, a free vacation or free vacation tips, I should say.
Right.
And join my newsletter.
Well, and once they join your newsletter, the other way to get people to join your newsletter is that you use AWeber to tie in.
I use AWeber to tie in. Every time I make a new blog post in AWeber, it gets blog broadcasted. I think that's the term for it.
Broadcast.
Broadcast blog. Blog club broadcast. I always get that confused. And it automatically Twitters the headline from the blog post, and it goes out to all my followers. So not only are the people on my newsletter list getting the newsletter, the people who are following me on Twitter are also getting the same newsletter if they click on the link.
And they can either choose to actually subscribe or you've actually, you know, you've increased your reader base because they're getting it in Twitter and in email, and they're choosing the way they want to get your newsletter.
Sure. Like the one site I have set up for, it has its own Facebook, it has its own MySpace. you know, all on, no spam involved, but I might have 300 people follow me on Facebook, and another 500 on MySpace, another 500 on Twitter, and 800 in my email newsletter list. Just by one sending out one post, it reaches almost all of these people.
Which is really cool, because, again, it's the end user deciding how they want to get the information and find out what you're talking about.
And all of these people end up on my site without the use of a search engine.
That's beautiful. I think that's one of the important things that people need to note, and one of the important reasons why people are starting to use Twitter more is because people are getting tired of Google deciding what are the best.
Be nice to Google.
Well, we love Google, but we also know that if you do a search for certain things in Google, the first results aren't necessarily things that you really want to know about that.
No, they're probably my old spammy web pages.
Those made for AdSense sites?
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. So if you're, what Twitter is basically doing is it's building a user-generated search engine.
Right.
So, like, again, to go back to the coffee, you know, if you search for Keurig in Google, you're going to find places to buy the coffee pot.
Right.
And if you search for Keurig in
Twitter,
you're going to find people that are using the coffee pot telling you whether they like it or not, and then you're also going to find places
which
to buy it.
Which ones not to buy and how they save money buying it at certain places.
Right. They're going to tell you where they bought it. People post where they buy stuff.
I know.
Wow,
I found out that Keurig is selling now at Office Depot.
Uh-huh.
I found that out through Twitter. I
would
have never found that out through Google. Well,
yep.
I would have eventually, but...
And there's a lot of people making business connections on Twitter. I have found quite a few people that I'm now doing business with because I entered a conversation with somebody who had a conversation with somebody, and now they're one of my business partners,
mm-hmm.
You know, or they're one of my affiliates, or they're one of my artists. So one last thing that I did want to bring up before we wrap up is when you are replying to people, and, you know, the basic thing on Twitter is that it's not really a chat room. It's starting to get a little bit more like a very big chat room, but it still isn't. It's mostly you talking to people. However, it's always good to reply to people, and you use a little at sign to reply to people. But when you're replying to someone, don't just say, at NY Falcon, laugh out loud. That was funny. You know, when you're talking to them, say, at NY Falcon, your tweet about coffee pots was really cool. Thanks. And that makes more sense, and it also makes people who are following your conversation and not following his conversation actually able to be part of the conversation.
Right, without having to click on my name to see what I was talking about.
Or they become interested and they do click on your link, mm-hmm. And then they can become one of your followers.
Right, and then they join my newsletter list.
And then they join your, and it all goes on.
It's all about
and
newsletters
on.
With me. I can't hop on that enough.
But here's the thing: don't all of a sudden, like if you only go on Twitter once or twice a day, don't go on and do 25 ads all right in a row. You know, answering everybody who talked to you or that was interesting, because all of a sudden you've just flooded someone else's Twitter stream with your at replies. Guess what happens?
Unfollow.
We don't like unfollow. Unfollow means you bored somebody or you passed along very uninteresting information.
And I think once you get unfollowed, it's very hard to get that person back.
Yes, it is. I've unfollowed people that are internet gurus, that are...
Make money online.
There are people that, you know, if you go to... There are some applications in Twitter that will tell you the most influential people that you should be following on Twitter. Of those top 10 people in my niche, I won't follow them because they talk too much about stuff I don't want to know about.
Right. I've unfollowed people just from the music selections that they... Last
yes.
week somebody said,
FM.
Oh, that drives me up the wall.
Blip FM is starting to get a little bit too prevalent too, but we have people that we like very much who use it, so we aren't going to insult them. But
I just skip over the post. I don't bother either.
Yeah. And once you start skipping posts, it becomes really easy to ignore someone.
And then unfollow.
So, Make sure that you limit your ads and give some relevant information about what you're talking about. Make sure you never, ever post a URL without telling what that URL is.
Right. The link is...
If you just post a link, no one knows if they should click it, and especially if it's a tiny URL. You know, you may not realize when you post it, you might forget that it's going to get converted to a tiny URL. You know, at least say...
Click here to see the best coffee pots.
Exactly.
Something similar.
Tell me something about that link before you just drop it in. Because you know what? Even me, who, you know, everyone trusts everything I post.
Yeah.
Especially
those retweets.
You never drop a link without telling people this is what it is. You know? Like, I never even go, you know, I don't just say new work on Loxley Gallery and drop a link. I say new butterfly art from Leslie Nazarian. And then I give the link. So give some information about that link before you drop it.
You want to talk about a racing?
Oh, yes. A very good question that was posted in our forum on a Best Web was, can you erase something once you've posted it? Or, like in conversation, once it's out there, is it out there forever? Interestingly enough, you can delete them. There's a little trash can next to your own posts, and you can delete them, but you have to remember that once they go out there, they go out into a zillion RSS feeds, and God bless Google, it grabs every tweet as soon as it's Twittered. So you can erase it, and you can erase it from your own Twitter page, and you can erase it from subsequent RSS feeds, but Google will grab it. So try to be careful before you hit the delete button, or before you hit the send button. But you can delete things. Just remember it's already been seen.
No Twittering while drinking.
Yeah, Twittering while drinking. There are people that have their friends make sure that once they've been drinking, they're not allowed to Twitter. We do have a very good friend who had her BlackBerry taken away from her recently on an evening out.
No names involved.
No names. But, yes, you have to be careful because whatever you do Twitter, unless you have your Twitter stream protected, which is really kind of stupid in my opinion, except for if there's a really good reason. We do have a couple friends that have theirs protected.
They have good reasons.
But in general, you put things on Twitter because you want people to read them. What you have to remember is when you put things on Twitter, people are going to read them, and they're going to be around for a really long time. So if you want to be vulgar or if you want to insult somebody, even if you're being sarcastic and don't really mean it, you have to remember that your tweets might be taken out of context. And
which they will, because it's only 140 characters.
Yes.
Very easy to...
Yes. So be careful. Be diplomatic. You know, I mean, don't go against your principles if you really want to, you know, get out there and scream and yell at people because that's what you do. Fine. Just remember that that's how people are going to see you and remember you.
If you have a Twitter, put it on your website for other people to follow you.
Always. Make sure it's on your business card.
On your business card, on your blog, on your website.
It's the new email.
Yeah.
People are using it instead of email. Direct messages. I almost forgot.
It's live.
Direct messages are direct messages via Twitter. I think I direct messaged via Twitter today more than I did emails back and forth to certain people.
Sure, it's live time. Plus, you're direct messaging people, it's going to their cell phone, which is on them. They might be out of the office.
Yep. Or it's someone who has one of the applications that we'll get into in another podcast that, you know, like TweetDeck, that flashes a little notice to them, you know, in the corner of their desktop so they know that I've been talking to them or that I need to hear something from them. They need to hear something from me. It's easier than having Yahoo, Skype, AOL, all these different things open. Instead, it's all consolidated into one thing.
I like TweetDeck.
I do use Skype, and I do use Yahoo, and I refuse to use MSN or AOL. So the ways that you communicate with me are going to be those two instant messenger services and Twitter.
The way most people call me, contact me, is when they're drunk in the bar, and all of a sudden my cell phone rings. I'm sure everybody's got one of them.
Yeah. So, well, we hope you've learned a lot about using Twitter, and you can feel free to leave us comments on the blog post or the a Best Web thread where you're going to see this link posted. You can send us questions about not only Twitter, but what else you'd like to see in other Affiliate ABC's podcasts. We have ideas already, but we're always willing to, we want to talk about what people want to hear.
Yes, we do.
All right. So until next time, have a great day and make money.
Bye-bye.